Ladies and gentlemen, travel with us now. Beyond the clouds, beyond the galaxies, right through and into heaven itself, as we all go before the glorious, mighty judgment seat of God. Yes, let's begin television's most revealing game show. People say the darndest things. And now, here's your host, Jim Kennedy. Jimmo.
Welcome to People Say the Darndest Things. Just a quick review of the rules for our new viewers. Our contestants have all been informed of the rules for many years, so no excuses and no alibis are permitted. All judgments are reserved for God Himself through the authority of His Word. So, with that established, let's meet our first contestant.
Jim, our first contestant was a mechanic from Buffalo, New York. Audience, welcome Delbert Bartley.
Welcome, Delbert, to People Say the Darndest Things. How you doing?
Not so good. I'm a little nervous.
Well, Delbert, look at your file. You have plenty of reason to be. Delbert, I want you to know that you hold a People Say the Darndest Thing record, because in your lifetime, you took the name of the Lord in vain, either by cursing God or by using the name of Jesus, 617,542 times.
Oh, that's...
make that 617,543 times.
Wait a second. I say God bless you to a lot of people, too, especially when people sneeze, you know? Doesn't that sort of even out?
I don't think so, Delbert. Okay, it's time for the ruling. And the scripture says, Matthew 12:34-37.
What's that say?
Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned.
Thank you, Bible lady.
Condemned?
Yeah, looks like you're in big trouble. But thanks for being on the show. Now just go right up through the judgment door for God's sentencing. Boy, sure sounds like Delbert had quite a bad heart and far too many idle words. Well, let's meet our next contestant.
Jim, our next contestant was an operations supervisor in Omaha, Nebraska. Audience, welcome Art Langtry.
Welcome, Art.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Feeling pretty sure to yourself, huh?
Oh, let me tell you, Jim, I keep a close watch on this mouth of mine.
Well, okay, Art. Well, let's look at your file. Oh, Art, I see a few slips.
What do you mean?
We're going to go back to March 8, 1974. The place, your living room. Let's run the tape.
Monitor up here?
Yeah.
Carol, I'm tired of asking you, where is my bowling ball?
I told you, it's in the closet.
It is not. I'm looking in the closet, and I don't... Oh, you... My
Well, there you have it, Art. Pretty convicting.
Okay, so I blew it once. Did you have to play that in public? Look, I was in a closet. I didn't hurt anyone.
Well, Art, that wasn't the only time I got a list of characters anymore.
Well, okay.
Let's get a ruling. And the scripture says, Luke 12:3.
Therefore, whatever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops.
Boy, I'm sorry, Art, but you've been a good sport, so go right on through for sentencing. Thanks again. Before we move on, we got a couple of letters asking what happened to Harry Gardner, the man that throughout his life vehemently denied that Jesus was Lord. As you recall, Harry received Philippians 2:10-11. Bible lady?
At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
We can now report that Harry is on his knees admitting that Jesus is Lord. Sadly, too little, too late for Harry. And now for our next contestant.
Right, Jimmo, our next contestant is a man previously from Cedar Rapids, Michigan. Let's welcome to People Say the Darndest Things, Larry Nelson.
Hi, Bros Fan Club. Well, welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
Oh, it is?
Sure, Jim. I went to church every Sunday. I raised $400 for the Stained Glass Fund, and I saw the movie Five Commandments 10 times.
Oh, impressive, Larry. But your file isn't spotless. I'm sorry. You've got quite a few offenses.
Huh? Maybe there's a mistake.
No. For instance, April 10th, 1976, at the Elks Lodge.
I don't remember that day in particular.
Does the line, did you hear the one about the traveling salesman ring a bell?
Oh, well, yeah.
Should we read the rest of the story?
No, that's okay. But hey... It was just the guys, you know, a few beers. We were just kidding. We always told jokes like that.
Well, okay, Larry, let's see. And the scripture says, James 1:26.
If any man among you seems to be religious and doesn't bridle his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is vain.
Thank you, Bible lady.
Vain?
After every Sunday having to get up and go to that boring church?
Larry, you'll have to tell to the judge. And thanks for being on People Say the Darnest Things. Don?
Maybe you don't know how boring that church was.
Jim, our final contestant, was a telephone repair person from Whittier, California. Audience, welcome Barb Henderson.
Welcome, Barb.
Praise the Lord, Jim. It's a privilege and an honor to be here.
Great. Well, let's open your file and see what says you've said.
Okay.
Boy, Barb, it's empty. Not one word. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, but I can't take any credit. You see, I've said plenty of bad things in my day. You know, lost my temper or didn't bridle my tongue. But being a Christian, Jesus took all the judgment for me, so my file's clean.
Yeah, just like you never said one wrong word. That's great. And Don, what do we have for Barb?
Well, Jim, for Barb, there's joy, peace, and happiness for eternity. And not just any eternity, but eternity with God himself.
Oh, praise the Lord!
Well, that's our show. Once again, proving what Proverbs 13:3 says.
He that keeps his mouth keeps his life, but he that opens wide his lips shall see destruction.
This is Jim Kennedy on behalf of the Bible Lady saying goodnight and see you all sometime on People Say the Darnest Things. Leave It to Squirrely with Hugh Budford, Barbara Billingsworth, Tommy Dow, and Jerry Smathers. He's Squirrely.
Now, boys, be sure and put all your things away neatly.
And just put your dirty clothes in the hamper, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Oh, it's great to be back and see the boys, isn't it?
Well, it should be. You worried about them all week.
Now, Ward Cheevers, that's just not true. It's just that this was Squirrely's first time away from home and all in. Oh, he did seem to enjoy it, didn't he?
Well, I hate to say I told you so, but...
Oh, Ward, really?
Sorry, dear. Sometimes facts are hard to deal with.
Yeah, Wally, it was really neat. Well, they had boats and horses and a really nifty water slide. And we played kickball and baseball and volleyball and we went swimming. And one day Mr. Fraser took us for a hike and we saw some deer and some squirrels. We had a bonfire and roasted hot dogs and marshmallows and everything.
Wow, sounds pretty cool, Squirrel. Did you make any new friends?
Oh, yeah. There were lots of kids to play with. It was really great, Wally. What did you do all week?
Well, Lumpy's dad had the measles, so we didn't do much over there. We mostly hung around Roland's Bluff with Eddie and watched the dump trucks load up with dirt. Hey, what's that?
What's what?
That thing around your neck.
Oh, you mean this thing?
Yeah.
Well, it's sort of a fish.
Well, let me see it. I-X-O-Y-E. What's that mean?
Well, it means I got born again, kind of.
Born again? You mean you're a Christian?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Boy, Squirrely. Does Dad know about this?
No. Do you think he's going to holler at me and stuff?
I don't know, Squirrely. You've never done anything like this before. What would make you go and do a goofy thing like that?
Well, I don't know why. They were just studying the Bible, and they read the part that said if I didn't, I'd go to hell. But that God loved me, and he didn't want me to go to hell. And then if I didn't want to go to hell... What I had to do was repent from all the bad stuff that I did and accept Jesus as my Savior and live my life for him. And then I could go to heaven.
Well, what does all that mean?
Well, it means that instead of doing all the things that I want to do, that I should only do the things that the Bible says to do, like being nice to people and not being selfish and praying and reading the Bible every day.
Gee, sounds kind of creepy if you ask me.
Well, I know it does it first. Well, I didn't think I was going to like reading my Bible every day. Because it always sounds so boring when Reverend Watkins reads it. But I really like it now.
You got a Bible?
Yeah. They gave it to me at camp. Look, it's got pictures and maps, wow. And it's written so I can understand what it means.
Hey, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. And they got a prayer group and believers club and lots of other things to help me grow in the Lord. At first, I thought it was dumb to be a Christian because it wasn't any fun. But it's really neat, huh, Wally?
I guess so. So long as you like it. I wouldn't do it, though.
Why not, Wally?
Because, Squirrely, if I stopped doing all the stuff I'm not supposed to be doing, I wouldn't have anything left to do.
Wally, can I pray for you?
I guess so. But why would you want to do that?
Because I really love you, Wally. You're the best brother a guy ever had.
Cut it out, Squirrely.
More coffee, dear?
Huh? Oh, yes, please. Thank you, dear.
Let me feel your forehead again. Oh, you seem all right. But what I can't understand is how in the world four grown men could manage to fall into the lake while playing golf.
Well, it wouldn't be so hard to understand if you ever rode with Fred Rutherford. I could almost swear he drove that golf cart straight into the lake on purpose.
But didn't you say the accelerator got stuck on him?
I'm not so sure. I'll get it.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Cheevers. Mrs. Cheevers?
Good morning, Eddie.
My Mrs. Cheevers, you're sure looking lovely today.
Thank you, Eddie.
Quite a nice day, isn't it?
Well, for some of us.
You know, as I was out on my paper route this morning, I just couldn't help but notice the awesome beauty of this thriving community of ours.
Well, I didn't know you had a paper route, Eddie.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Cheevers. It's only a temporary situation, though. I felt it would be a good idea to get some business experience in case someone offers me a real job, like Mr. Cheevers has.
Well, that's very wise, Eddie. The boys are up in their room.
Thank you, sir. It's certainly a pleasure to see both of you again. Perhaps now that I've got some experience, Mr. Cheevers, you and I can get together and talk about business sometime. You know, man to man.
Oh, well, we'll see about that, Eddie.
Yes, we will. I'll be going up to see Wallace now. I certainly have enjoyed our little chat, sir.
I don't know. Kind of different.
Have no fear, Hanson's here.
Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Eddie.
Hiya, men. What's shaking?
Nothing much. I was just going to go over to Stubby Ferguson's house and see his iguana.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe you can get a date with one of his lizards, huh? Hey, what are you dressed up for, Squirt? You look like you just climbed out from under a rock.
Well, I'm going to go down today and help paint the church, Eddie.
Paint the church? Who's making you do that?
Well, no one's making me do it. I just want to, that's all.
You mean they ain't paying you? You're doing it for free?
Well, yeah.
Hey, Wally, I thought you were this guy's brother. Squirrely, let me tell you about churches. They're a ripoff. My old man says they're the biggest crooks in town. They don't have to pay for taxes or anything. They just get people like you to do all the work for free and keep all the money from the offerings for themselves. And I hear some of those offerings over $1 million, Sam.
But that's not true, Eddie. Water Church doesn't have $1 million. What, some of the pastors even have extra jobs just to feed their families?
That's all a scam, Sam. You watch. One day you'll wake up and they'll all be gone to the Bahamas or something.
Lay off them, Eddie, will ya?
Okay, but don't say I didn't warn you. Christians are nothing but a bunch of phonies.
Cut it out, Eddie. Why don't you wait for me downstairs?
Hey, don't get mad, Dad. I'm going. Hey, St. Theodore, see you later, huh?
Sorry about that, Squirrely. You know how Eddie is.
It's okay, Wally. He doesn't bother me. I know there's lots of people who say they're Christians, but they really aren't. What I don't understand is how God could love a guy like Eddie. He must be an awfully big God.
Yeah, I guess so.
How much longer till supper, dear? The boys are already at the table.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ward. The roast is just a little slow. It'll be about 5 minutes.
Anything I can do to help?
Well, not in here, but I was hoping you could talk to Squirrely. I'm a little worried about him. Ever since he came back from that camp, he's been acting strange.
How's that?
Well, he not only makes his bed in the morning, but now he makes Wally's, too. He's done all his homework. He hasn't been late once all this week. And this afternoon he asked if he could wash the windows.
Squirrely? That is strange.
You think you could talk with him? After all, he is your son.
Well, he usually is at these times. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, thank you, dear. I won't be long.
Well, boys, how was school today? Wally?
Oh, gee, it was fine, Dad. Well, Mrs. Carruthers was sick today, so we didn't have a test in history. Oh, and Rick Murphy lost his shorts in the cross-country meet today, and he had to drop out of the race. That was kind of funny.
Yes, I can imagine. So, Squirrely, how was your day?
Well, I don't know, Dad. Not so good, I think.
Well, what happened?
Well, Larry and Whitey asked me to do something that I didn't want to do, and when they asked me to do it, I told them I didn't want to do it, but then they got mad at me, and they tried to make me do it anyway, but I still wouldn't do it, so they decided they would do it, but then their parents found out they did it, and they got in trouble, and now they think that I told on them, but I didn't tell on them, but they said that I did, and so now nobody at school will talk to me.
Well, what'd they do, Squirrely?
Well, gee, Dad, I can't tell you that, on account of they're my friends and everything, and you're a grown-up. And if I really did tell you, well, then I really would be a squealer.
Well, I can tell you, Dad. Larry and Whitey snuck into the Rialto Saturday to see a couple of dirty movies.
Well, golly, Wally, how'd you know that?
Well, everybody knows Squirrely. Dean Sweeney told Lumpy Rutherford, and Lumpy's mom found out and called Whitey's parents.
Well, Squirrely, sounds like you did the right thing.
Well, yeah, I know, Dad. But I feel bad for Larry and Whitey. Well, not because they got caught. I just feel bad because they did it.
Well, son, I'm sure their parents feel the same way.
Dad?
Yes, Squirrely?
Dad, there's something that I should tell you about.
What is it?
Well, you remember last week when I went up to camp with the church?
Yes.
Well, something happened at church that I didn't tell you about. It's not because I didn't want to tell you about it, because I really did want to tell you about it, but I was afraid if I told you about it, you might get mad or something.
What is it, son?
Dad, I'm a Christian.
Oh, of course you are, Squirrely. We all are.
Well, no, Dad, I don't mean that kind of Christian. I mean a real Christian, like the ones in the Bible. Well, I study God's word and pray every day and everything so that I know just what God wants me to do. Well, I pray about school and my friends and you and Mom and Wally, too.
Squirrely, are you saying we're not Christians?
Well, gee, Dad, if you were really Christians, then I wouldn't have to go to camp to find out about Jesus.
Well,
Well, it's okay, Dad. I'm glad I went to camp. God changed my whole life. Well, that's why I wanted to tell you and Mom and Wally about the Lord. And Larry and Whitey, too.
Well, the roast is finally done. Here we go.
Ward, do you want to say grace?
No. I think I'll let Squirrely tonight.
Lord, thanks for all the neat things that you give us and for this food. And we ask you to bless it and to bless us, too. And Lord, thanks for giving me a neat mom and a neat dad. And a neat brother, too. In Jesus' name, amen. Dad, you're not mad at me or anything, are you?
No, Squirrely. In fact, I'm very proud of you.
Gee, Mr. Cheevers, would you pass the potatoes, please?
Sure, Eddie.
As the days grow shorter and shorter, Jesus admonished us to redeem the time, to give our relationship with Him top priority in our lives. The people interviewed on this show feel there's only one thing more important, and we're here to find out just what that one thing is.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Time Wasters. I'm your host, Tom Biggs, and today we're in Santa Monica, California, in answer to a letter from Ludlow, Vermont that reads, Dear Tom, I am 85 years old, and I've been a Christian for some 60-odd years now, and in all my days, I've seen people waste time in thousands of ways. Even before I became a Christian, I had little patience with people who didn't make the most of every day. And as far back as I can remember, I have never seen anything that can waste more time for someone than a television. Seems to me that's the main purpose of the thing. So why do people watch it? I just don't understand. Anyway, imagine my dismay when I got the chance to fly out to California to meet one of my grandchildren for the first time, only to find him addicted to that box. I spent my whole vacation trying to talk to him, but I couldn't reach him. A friend told me you might be able to help. After all, you're on TV, so maybe he'll listen to you. Gratefully, Mr. Richard Dittleman. Well, Mr. Dittleman, your letter expresses the opinion of thousands of people around the nation, and we couldn't agree more. Experts tell us that excessive TV viewing is responsible for many of our nation's problems, physically, psychologically, and of course, spiritually.
Who is it?
Tom Biggs from Time Wasters?
Come on in, it's open.
Harold?
I'm in the den. Come on down.
Harold Diddleman, I'm Tom Biggs.
Right, go ahead and have a seat. Want a cheese puff?
Thank you.
Watching an old Sherlock Holmes movie, Basil mm-hmm. Rathbone, Nigel Bruce, great, just great.
Well, it sounds good. Have you ever seen our show, Time Wasters?
No, not too much. I always watch Mother Carr that night. It's my favorite show. Never miss it.
Well, our show's kind of a human interest show. You know, we go into people's houses, film interviews with them.
No, kind of like That's Really Incredible People.
Well, more like what we're doing now, I'd say.
I'll have to record it on my video recorder and watch it sometime. See, I can watch one thing and tape another at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier than watching two or three sets at once. It used to give me a headache. Here, want some pretzels?
Oh, no, thanks. I want to diet now.
How'd you pick me for your show?
Well, different people ride in.
Wait. I got to see this part.
Is that Sherlock Holmes there?
No, that's Nigel Bruce. Okay, now go ahead. What were you saying?
Well, your grandfather recommended you to us.
Grandpa Diddleman?
Uh-huh.
Really? I thought he hated TV. He was here for about 2 weeks telling me how bad it was. He talked all the way through Casablanca. Said it wasn't Christian.
Casablanca?
No, TV in general. Can you imagine that? Just last week they played Oh God.
Well, Harold, I think you missed your grandfather's point. Do you realize the average person watches close to 38 hours of television a week?
38?
That's right.
Wow, I watched that in one day.
Harold, I get the feeling you're not tuned in to what I'm saying here.
Huh? Oh, sure, Tom. I'm listening to what you're saying. Here, you want some Fritos?
No, thanks. Harold, do you know it says in Psalms to be careful what you set before your eyes? Think about what you're watching here. Rapes, murders, fornication, lust, greed. It's all trash.
But Tom, you can't say it's all trash. Why, I accept the Lord on a TV.
You mean watching TV?
Yeah, right. You know, every Sunday I get all three sets out and watch all the Christian programs.
At once?
Hmm. Sure, 21 shows and all. Every Sunday I see them, you know, praise the Lord, the Lord should be praised, come and praise the Lord, gospel hour of gospel, half of a gospel hour, half of the gospel, you know, all of them. I guess you could say I attend more church than most.
Well, I don't know whether I can agree with that. Well, how do you get any fellowship?
But, Tom, what is fellowship? It's getting to know people, right? And I know some of the most colorful people in the world, J.R. Ewing, Sheriff Lobo, Laverne and Shirley, and I don't mean the service junk. I mean I know what makes them tick.
But, Harold, what about the Bible?
Yeah, I got you there. See, greatest heroes of the Bible every time it's on.
No, I'm not talking about Bible characters. I'm talking about Bible principles.
Well, bearing one another's burdens is a Bible principle, and I suffered through Sandy Brewer's miscarriage and the edge of life, Victoria's divorce, Alan's murder trial.
Very impressive, Harold. Listen, with all the time you spend in front of your TV, how do you earn a living anyway?
I'm a security guard.
Well, at least you get some time away from that tube.
Oh, no. I'm on video surveillance. I got a dozen sets at work. Whenever the boss is around, I just tune in the talk shows. Donahue, Davidson, Douglas, Dinah, Murr.
Listen, Harold, I think I'm running out of pearls here. Maybe we should be going, huh?
You sure? Celebrity Bowling's going to be on in a half hour.
Oh, no, thanks, Harold.
Hey, want to watch King of Kings with Jeffrey Hunter later? We can split a TV dinner.
No, thanks.
Hey, don't run off. I got some terrific parting gifts.
Recent surveys show that children spend more time with their TVs than with their parents, a sad reflection of the times in which we live. The vast majority of people today are in real bondage to the box, watching it whether they want to or not. Experts tell us TV is the biggest single influence in the world today. And what does it have to say? Just what the world wants it to say. But we're supposed to be separate from the world. We don't get our examples from them. We get ours from God Himself through personal prayer and study of His Word. If you find it difficult to turn off your TV, even for just one night, ask God to help you to break this habit. You'll be amazed to see the difference in your life, and so will your family. This is Tom Biggs, hoping Jesus is always as important to you as you are to Him. So long for now!
Hello, sports fans. Robbie Robeno is here at the Pilgrim Race. I'm standing right at the finish line, hoping to speak with today's winning runner. According to our scouts, the runners have passed the final turn, so we should be seeing the winners at any time. Reports show John Mayberry's Alan Hawkins and Linda Ferguson leading the pack, with Jim Spencer a distant fourth. The Pilgrim Race differs from a straight marathon run because of its constant obstacles and its important road selection decisions. Oh, and here they come now. It is Hawkins out in front, followed by Mayberry's and Ferguson. But wait a minute. Spencer is gaining. He's passed Ferguson and Mayberry's. Hawkins is losing steam. Quite a race. Spencer's caught him, and they're neck and neck. It's going to be close, ladies and gentlemen. It's Spencer. Jim Spencer is the leader, followed by Hawkins, Ferguson, and Mayberry's rounding out the front four. I've got Jim here now. Jim Spencer, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, congratulations on your victory.
Thanks a lot, but praise the Lord,
Ronnie. You know, you had a great run. It shows great mental, physical, and most of all, spiritual strength.
Well, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, Robbie. He gives me the strength.
Jim, training it's such an important part of any race. What's your method?
Well, Robbie, I start with a good diet. You know, you got to eat right, a well-balanced meal. Then, you know, meats and milk and so on.
Could you describe a usual breakfast?
Oh, sure. Well, I start with something meaty, say Romans, and then maybe a side of Proverbs and a big glass of living water and then a psalm or two for dessert.
And you have that every day?
Well, not that in particular, Robbie. I eat my way right on through the entire Bible. You see, each book has different nutrients.
Mm-hmm. How about exercise?
Oh, very, very important, Robbie. You know, you can't just be an eater of the word, but you got to be a doer also. Now, right after breakfast, I do my spiritual calisthenics.
Spiritual calisthenics?
Sure, you know, my devotions. Prayer, mm-hmm. praise, intercession, all very important to keep each part of the body strong and active.
And diet and devotions, that's what wins the race.
Well, partly, Robbie, but that just begins the day. But then through the day, I do numerous exercises to keep fit.
Fit for the master's use, right?
Right on, Robbie.
What kind of exercise do you do, Jim?
Well, they vary. You know, fellowship, tithing, witnessing, Bible study, worship, that sort of thing.
And all that training, it must take a lot of discipline.
Hey, that's what it's all about, Robbie. To run the race to win, or to fight the good fight, you gotta be disciplined. Why do you think they call us disciples, huh?
Mm-hmm. How do you keep motivated, Jim?
Robbie, the secret is keeping your eyes on the finish line, not being distracted by anything off the course. And then you gotta strive to obtain that prize.
Well, obtain you did. And thank you, Jim, for talking with us. Congratulations on your victory.
Sure, and thank you, Robbie.
You're
God
welcome.
Bless you.
And now the final race contestants have just crossed the line. I'm talking with Norman Miller, the loser. Norman, you finished last in the Pilgrim race.
All right, Robbie. You don't have to rub it in. I'm tired already.
Jim Spencer, the winner, just told us of his rigorous training schedule and self-discipline. How about you?
Well, Robbie, I figure the trainer said come unto me, and I will give you rest. So I took it.
Took what?
Rest. Lots of it, Robbie. I figured 13 hours of sleep a day. It kept me more alert for the hours I was awake, but... oh, it didn't work that way. Oh, boy. Do I need a bed.
How about diet, Norman?
I blew it, Robbie. Too much junk food. All I fed on was Christian records, personal testimony, occasional fix of scripture cards, but it was all milk. No meat, Robbie. I was a spiritual vegetarian.
How about exercise?
Well, I put in an hour of pew warming here and there on Sundays, but I guess it wasn't enough. I feel like a walking Ben Gay commercial. Well, all except for my wrist here.
Your wrist?
Yeah. Yeah, look at this, see?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it works fine now. I got lots of exercise. You know, tuning the TV in, changing the channel, flipping through the TV guide, switching on the radio, tuning the stations in, but... oh, it was all very demanding.
And did that help you in the race today, Norman?
Afraid not, Robbie. I got to run. A crawl. Has anybody got a milkshake?
Well, that's the report from the Pilgrim race. Joe, back to you in the booth.
There's a lot of different kinds of people that make this world go around. Some say that Specs O'Keefe is one of them. If you meet Specs in a church, Sunday school, prayer closet, heaven or hell, or anywhere in between, be careful. This is where he works. Specs O'Keefe is no ordinary detective. He's special. Specs O'Keefe, Spiritual Eye.
It was a dreary fall morning as I awoke from my slumbering sleep. I staggered into the bathroom only to be greeted by the stare of a stone-cold face and a razor to my neck. It was a face I had confronted before, but with the help of some menthol shaving cream, I was usually able to conquer it. Not without a few nicks and scrapes, I might add. But anyway, shaving wasn't my only problem that day. Many more were lying in wait as I approached my office. It isn't easy being a spiritual eye. Problems and dangers wait around each bend. But somebody's got to do it, and today that somebody is me.
Morning, Specs.
Hi, Sherman.
Gee, Specs, what happened to your vase? There's about a roll of toilet paper on it.
Ain't no time to explain, Sherman. There's more important things on our agenda. By the way, what's on the agenda?
Well, there's a man in the outer office waiting. He says it's urgent.
Well, send him in and get rid of this tissue.
Hi, Mr. O'Keefe. My name's Barry Boyer.
What can I do for you?
Well, Mr. O'Keefe, I'm missing something, and I'm hoping you can find it for me.
Missing, you say? Now, being a professional detective, deductive reasoning leaves two choices. It was either lost or stolen.
How does he do it?
Which is it, Mr. Boyer?
I'm not sure, but I'd have to say lost.
Why is that?
Well, it's no good to anyone else.
Okay, let's stop beating around the bush. You keep saying it's. What's it? Spell it out for me, Boyer.
F-I-R...
Oh, no, you don't have to actually spell it out. That's just gumshoe talk for tell it like it is.
Oh, well, I've lost my first love.
Your first love?
Yeah, for Jesus. It's not there anymore. It's gone. You've got to help me, Mr. O'Keefe. I'm desperate. Without it, everything else I do is pointless.
Now, Mr. Boyer, don't worry about it. We'll find it.
Want some tissue?
Thank you.
Can you describe it, Mr. Boyer?
What, the tissue?
No, your first love. Was it big, small?
Oh, very big.
How long did you have it?
Well, I got it when I first became a Christian 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I was a whole new person, kind of like that blind guy in the Gospels. Once I was blind, but now I see. It was like a huge weight had been lifted off me, all of the guilt and shame, to realize it was all forgiven me because of Jesus. It was just me and Jesus. That simple. All I could think about, talk about night and day was Jesus. I was just overflowing with my first love.
When did you first notice it missing?
Well, after about 5 years, I noticed it missing once in a while, but I always found it again. But this last year, I haven't seen it at all, and I'm afraid I've lost it once and for all.
Well, we might as well get started. Sherman?
Yes, Max?
You sit down with Mr. Boyer, and I want a report of everywhere he's been since he realized his first love was missing.
Right, Chief.
Mr. Boyer?
Call me Barry.
Right. Barry, I want you to tell Sherman all you can, then go on home and stay there till we find your first love.
Stay at home? But I've got work to do.
Without your first love, your work is useless. You said so yourself.
Yeah, you're right.
What are you doing, Chief?
Me? I'm gonna finish shaving and get ready to find something that Barry Boyer might not recognize if it was staring him right in the face. After a lengthy discussion, my assistant Sherman had completed a thorough report of Barry Boyer's whereabouts prior to the loss of his first love. I looked over the locations with my keen detective eyes. Sure, he could have lost it anywhere, but due to my incredibly well-tuned hunches, I narrowed down the suspected places to a measly handful. Besides, this show doesn't have the time or budget to go everywhere Barry Boyer had been. We decided to stop wasting time with long introductions and follow up our first lead. Can I help you with
something? Yeah. What is this, Fex? A library?
Close but no cigar, Sherman. This is the first place on Barry Boyer's list.
The Bible Study Institute?
The Bible Study Institute, exactly, Sherman.
What do people do here, Fex?
Why, Sherman, it's as clear as the egg on your face. They study the Bible.
May I help you?
Yes, I'm Specs O'Keefe, and this is my assistant, Sherman. We need a little information.
Oh, well, you'll be wanting the Sound Doctrine Room. They can answer any questions you have.
Well, we're looking for one specific thing, and we can't seem to find it.
Oh, I see. Then you'll want the Concordance Room. Miss Waverly, show these gentlemen to the Concordance Room.
Excuse me, but that won't be necessary. See, we're not here to study the Bible right now. We came to talk about one of your patrons.
Oh, I understand. Who do you need to know about?
Barry Boyer.
Barry Boyer? 1 second, I'll pull his file. Let's see here. Barnacle, Barney. Ah, here it is, Boyer. Oh, yes, I remember Barry. He was here quite frequently.
We're looking for Barry's first love. He's lost it, and we'd like to know if this could be where he left it.
Yes, Mr. O'Keefe, I was aware that Barry had lost his first love.
How's that? Did he tell you?
No, they never need to tell me. I just know. Their entire motivation and study habit changes.
Changes?
In what way?
Well, they don't seem to love the word anymore, but they use it more as a weapon.
A weapon?
A weapon?
Yes, a weapon. You see, when Barry first came in years back, he'd spend almost all of his time in the hunger and thirst after God's word room. But I guess he had his fill, and slowly he spent more and more time in the doting about questions and striving of words department. He'd only study the word to either argue about it or to know more than his friends. I think it made him feel more spiritual.
Boy, Barry Boyer sure sounds like a creep.
Oh, no, no. Barry's really a good young man. I just think he's having a little trouble right now.
Understandably, trying to be a Christian without his first love.
It's like playing without a full deck.
Precisely. We've got to find it.
Well, I sure hope you do, but I'm afraid you won't find it here.
Oh?
Yes, I don't know where he did lose it, but I'm sure it isn't here.
But ma'am, this is a big building, so many rooms. How can you be sure?
Well, Mr. O'Keefe, we keep our first love in our heart, so to lose it, one would have to have their heart open.
Yes?
Well, Barry never did. When he came to study the word, his mind was open, but not his heart. At least not lately. Oh, but there was a time Barry's heart was so open to God's word, everyone could see it. But sadly, not anymore. Yes, Mr. O'Keefe, I believe you'll have to search elsewhere.
Thank you. We will. You've been a great help. Come along, Sherman.
Right, Specs.
We've got to visit the second lead on our list, if we can find it.
Excuse me.
Yes?
May I suggest our Bible map room? You can find anything there.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome.
We took the librarian's advice and went to the Bible map room to find directions to the location of our next search for Barry Boyer's missing first love. We drove down Egypt Avenue, cut across Wilderness Highway to save time, and got off on the Jordan Road exit. It was quite a trip. Seemed like it took 40 years, but finally we arrived at our promised land, the prayer closet. A quiet, unassuming little building, but what goes on inside is powerful. We approach boldly with confidence.
Boy, Specs, it's dark in here.
You're right, Sherman. Stay close to the light. What happened, Sherman?
Well, I stumbled on a kneeler.
Well, we all stumble sometimes, Sherman. Be careful.
Yeah, hello, I'm Mr. Johnson. Welcome to the prayer closet. Are you looking for a room?
Well, possibly.
Well,
you
we
see...
have many different kinds of rooms to choose from, depending on your needs.
Well, actually,
we have the praise rooms. They're real nice to begin your stay with. Then we have the petition rooms, the intercession rooms, and, of course, the thanksgiving rooms.
That's great, Mr. Johnson.
Fine,
but you see
fine.
That...
Boy, show these gentlemen to rooms 704 and 705.
Any luggage, sir?
No, we don't.
Here are your keys.
Wait a minute. Now, if you'll listen for just a second, you haven't heard a word I've said.
Yes. I'm so sorry. You see, that's one of the biggest problems we have here at the prayer closet. We seldom quit talking long enough to listen. Please accept my apology.
No problem.
Now, about those rooms.
Any luggage, sir?
We don't need rooms.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Why?
Well, you see, business is a little slow. People just aren't praying the way they used to. Not like during the great revivals. Boy.
Any luggage, sir?
Back then, the prayer closet was just overflowing.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes, well, I'll keep praying. So now, how may I help you?
My name is Specs O'Keefe. I'm a spiritual eye.
Mm-hmm.
My client, Barry Boyer, lost his first love. It's my job to track it down. Wondering if he lost it here.
Let's see. What was the name?
Barry Boyer.
Huh, name doesn't ring a bell.
Any luggage, sir?
I'll check the reservations.
Excuse me. What are they doing?
Oh, they're wrestling in prayer. Mr. Carmichael, watch your hip. We don't want it to pop out of its socket again. Here it is. Barry Boyer.
Has he been here recently?
No, I'm afraid not. It seems he makes quite a few reservations, but just never shows.
Well, has he ever been here?
Oh, yes. According to his record, he spent a lot of time here years back. Used every room in the house. Quite a warrior, I guess. But let's see. Then about a year and a half ago, Yes, I remember him, of course. Clockwatch Boyer.
Clockwatch?
Yes, he'd have to practically drag himself in here. Then the whole time he'd keep asking the time. Never stayed until checkout. In fact, the most he stayed would be, 5 minutes, and then half of that was spent asking what time it was.
So you don't think he lost his first love here?
Oh, no. Although some people do.
How's that?
Well, you see, they just stop coming to the prayer closet out of love and start coming out of duty, so to speak. It becomes a real drag, and the first love gets lost.
And Barry Boyer?
No. He never stayed long enough to get his knees warm.
Well, thank you, Mr. Johnson.
My pleasure. I'll be praying that you find it. Remember, seek and ye shall find. Ask and it shall be given unto you.
Our client was well remembered at the Bible Study Institute and at the prayer closet, but questioning proved futile. 3 days and still no sign of Barry Boyer's missing first love. No time to waste. I choked down a quick Brussels sprout sandwich, and Sherman and I scurried to our next hope for the mysterious answer.
Well, here we are, Specs.
Right on time, Sherman. I just ran out of introduction. What's the name of this place?
The Fellowship Hall.
Aha. So this is Barry's hangout.
Yep. He said he came here at least once a week.
Great, I'll file that in my brain under R for remember it.
Boy, Specs, there's a lot of people here.
That's right, Sherman. Good thing, too. One thing every believer needs is fellowship. It's quite uplifting.
Yeah, like they say, iron sharpens iron.
Sherman, you've been studying.
You betcha, every chance I get.
This is a big place, Sherman. I wonder where to start.
Specs, there's a directory right here.
Good thinking, Sherman.
Thanks.
Okay, room 501, bearing one another's burdens. Room 508, rejoicing together. Room 721, mutual encouragement. Room 843, welcoming new believers. The list is virtually endless.
Yeah, but which room did Barry go to?
That's the 45-cent question, Sherman.
Well, hello there. You two are new here, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Well, my name's Eb Richardson. But everyone knows me as Friendly Ale.
My name's Specs O'Keefe, but everyone knows me as Specs O'Keefe.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you there. Yeah. Hey, who's your awkward little friend here?
My name's Sherman.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, God's been so good to me, I just rejoice being able to meet new brothers.
Mind if we ask you a few questions, Eb?
Go right ahead. I'm here to serve. The Bible says if you want to be great in God's kingdom, be the servant of all. What do you need to know?
Well, do you know a brother named Barry Boyer?
Barry? Sure do. Been coming here for quite a few years.
Where'd he hang out?
Well, at first he spent a good amount of time everywhere. Yes, sir. If fellowship in the Lord was to be had, Barry'd be in the middle of it.
How about lately? Which rooms was he in?
Well, lately, he hung around out in the yard with a few of the guys.
What is the yard used for?
Well, it isn't used, really. Well, they just hang out there and shoot the breeze. Talk about baseball, movies, cars, anything except the Lord. I don't want to gossip. I mean, there's enough gossip here in the name of fellowship.
Good point.
Well, but it really isn't gossip, Mr. Specs, because I did go to Barry about it.
Well, about what?
Well, about never talking about Jesus anymore. He said that him and the fellows spent so much time together at the Bible Study Institute that afterwards, when they'd come here to the fellowship hall, they'd talk about other things. Said it was like leaving at the office, whatever that means.
I see. Speaking of leaving, let's go. Thank you, Eb.
But Specs, we just got here.
I've seen enough, and his first love's not here. Come along, Sherman.
So long, Mr. Specs. Bye-bye, little buddy.
Gee, Specs, how'd you know that Barry didn't lose his first love at the fellowship hall?
Sherman, love for God is spiritual. That means to lose something spiritual, he'd have to be spiritually vulnerable.
Sure, Specs, but the fellowship hall has spiritual fellowship.
True, Sherman, but none of Barry's fellowship was spiritual. It was all casual, natural, but not spiritual.
Well, even if he didn't personally have spiritual fellowship, couldn't he still have left it there?
No, Sherman, Barry wasn't even there.
But he said he was.
Yes, outside, but he never entered in.
Yes, that's why there wasn't a room for casual talking, and that's why they met out back.
Right. Oh, yes, there's a place for casual talking, but spiritual fellowship must be the priority. There's no substituting.
Sherlock Holmes, move over.
Specs O'Keefe, he's a spiritual guy. Specs O'Keefe, he is a spiritual ass. I got a detective now. Specs O'Keefe, he's a spiritual slur. Specs O'Keefe, snooping all the gospel truth, yeah!
We were getting nowhere fast in the search for Barry Boyer's first love. Our list of suspected places was rapidly diminishing with no apparent solution. It seemed we were no closer than when we first started. That might be fine for an amateur like Sherman, but a professional like me is used to being hot on the trail, readying for the payoff. Frustration wasn't my usual cup of tea, but now I was taking the iced tea plunge. I became obsessed. Either I would conquer this case, or it would conquer me. Sherman, I've got it.
Got what, Specs?
The solution.
You mean you found Barry's first love?
Well, yes and no.
Well, which is it, Specs?
I don't have it, but I know where it is. Sherman, I want you to drive over to Barry's and bring him back on the double.
Gee, I've never had a double before. I usually walk or strike out. What are you going to do, Specs?
Well, Sherman, as you know, I have you record every interview we hold. I'm going through those tapes and prepare my verdict.
What a snooper!
Sherman headed out to get Barry, and I set to work on the tapes. As I finished my final edit, the smell of victory was in the air.
Specs, I'm back! Gee, what smell?
Victory, Sherman!
Oh, I thought it was your aftershave.
Mr. O'Keefe, Sherman says you've solved my case.
Looks like it, Barry. Have a seat.
How'd you ever find it? I thought all of your leads were fruitless.
Not so. They seemed fruitless at first because they didn't have your first love. But that didn't mean they didn't have the answer. Then it dawned on me. The Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. As I pieced together all they had said, suddenly it began to make sense.
So where did I lose it?
Barry, that's it. You didn't lose it.
I didn't?
Listen to this.
We keep our first love in our heart. Oh, but there was a time Barry's heart was so open to God's word, everyone could see it. But sadly, not anymore.
You see, Barry, it's still in your heart. Your heart's not open. It's clogged, polluted with so much other stuff, you can't even find your first love.
Clogged? With what?
Listen.
Baseball, movies, cars, anything except the Lord.
Quite a comparison to how you were.
It was just me and Jesus. That's simple. All I could think about, talk about night and day was Jesus. I was just overflowing with my first love. I can see it. I've complicated my relationship with so many other interests. I haven't made Jesus the priority like before. But how do I get him back?
Well, that one took a little longer. But then I remembered what Mr. Johnson had said.
Remember, seek and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given unto you.
I realized you had the answer all along. We're looking for something in your heart, and the Bible says from the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So your very words gave me the answer.
You know, I was a whole new person, kind of like that blind guy in the Gospels. Once I was blind, but now I see. It was like a huge weight had been lifted off me, all of the guilt and shame, to realize it was all forgiven me because of Jesus.
Barry, the book of Revelation says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works.
Yeah, but what do I actually do?
Just what it says. Remember who you were, a guilty sinner. Remember what Christ did for you on the cross, and realize each day who you are now in Jesus, and thank God for it.
Yeah, I see it now. Continually remember what Jesus did in my life, how I got my first love in the first place.
If you dwell on what Jesus did and is doing in your life, your love will be fresh every day.
Mr. O'Keefe, how can I thank you?
I can feel the love already. I'm remembering what it was like when I first repented and received God's love.
Well, Specs, you solved another one.
Yes, Sherman. It's so easy that it seemed complicated. I just hope we don't have to find it again in a few years. You know, Sherman, if you keep your eye on something constantly, you can't lose it.
Well, that's my boss!
Specs O'Keefe. He's a spiritual guy. Specs O'Keefe. He's a